Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, when you go out, you want it to be enjoyable, and a major part of that is to feel safe. Without the threat of harassment, sexual or otherwise, Safe Gigs Ireland is a new project that aims to enlist venue owners into being more proactive in protecting everyone. Dola Toomey is one of the leaders in the project. Afternoon, Dola.
Good afternoon, Sean. Lovely to speak to you today.
Now, I suppose anyone who owns any kind of a pub or a hotel or a nightclub would like to say, we don't tolerate sexual harassment in our places. But how would you actually go about enforcing that? Are there practical things that could be done?
Listen, there are. But, you know, the vast majority of people in pubs, clubs, venues tend to say things like that don't happen in our venue. There's a bit of denial going on. Maybe that's what people actually like to think. We know on the ground that that's not the case. We also know from the CSO report, the Survey on Sexual Violence that they brought out last year, that for pubs, clubs, discos, the most likely place for sexual violence and sexual harassment is to happen.
Mm. And I think on a common sense level, most people would know that to be the case anyway.
But the numbers are actually kind of scary. A third of males who reported sexual violence or sexual harassment reported that it happened in pubs, clubs or discos.
Yeah.
And a quarter of females who reported sexual violence or sexual harassment reported that it happened in similar venues. So all of these spaces and places, they're a reflection of what's happening in our society and in our culture. But it does make them very unsafe, very uncomfortable places for people. And your question was, can we do something? Yes, indeed, we can.
So as you envisage it through Safe Gigs Ireland, how would that work? How would a venue, if you like, earn a Safe Gigs Ireland imprimatur?
Well, right now, there are actually a number of them actually would totally meet what we would consider to be really good practice in the field of just minding their customers, minding their staff, actually imposing that duty of care. And a lot of it is the younger promoters coming up and the smaller venues have been saying, look, we want to do things differently. We want to host events where everybody has a good night out.
Yes, indeed.
And people feel safe. And it's also great for business. Now, for the others who, let's say, maybe of the opinion, well, nothing happens in my venue, it's not just us saying this. So one of the things coming down the line under the new licensing laws is something we really like, apart from the fact that they actually do need to be reformed and streamlined and made cheaper and simpler, is that when somebody goes for a license or a renewal of a license, they're going to have to sign up to a charter and actually show they're compliant with that charter. And one of the things in that charter is that they've actually taken steps and have policies and procedures for sexual harassment and other aggressions that can happen on their venue.
So in practical terms, how would that work?
In practical terms, it actually starts with a venue or a promoter or a manager saying people not being treated well by other people is one of the risks of hosting something. Let's explore those risks. And the staff know what they are. And they decide whether they're going to have what we call a zero tolerance policy. And even that first step, saying to the world, we're not prepared to tolerate bad behavior. We're not prepared to tolerate sexual harassment. We're not prepared to tolerate microaggressions or homophobia or anything, sends a clear message, one, to potential perpetrators that, look, you're not wanted here or your behavior is not wanted here. And it sends a sense of safety to everybody else. And you follow that up with procedures for what to do if you see something, what exactly to do if something's happening to you. And you create effective responses and you change culture. And it's happening in some of the smaller venues that have actually taken that on board.
Okay, so if there's an incidence of this, what kind of procedures do those smaller places have in place now?
Well, first of all, they've had a look at what kind of things can happen. They make sure that all staff are actually briefed on keeping an eye out and what they can do in the event of something looking like it might be going down or coming into play. And there's a whole range of different ways that we can all interact to diffuse something before it even happens. So it's about that focus.
Okay. Could you give us an example of what kind of intercessions could be made?
What we would call the standard bystander interventions, and I'll tell you about those in a second. But it's first of all about having the environment within which people are watching out for other people, both the punters and the audience and the staff and security, and that management actually are giving them that go-ahead and the backup. So for instance, if a staff member sees a customer who's uncomfortable, somebody's making them uncomfortable, they can distract, they can call on somebody else, they can kind of head it off at the pass, or act very effectively if somebody needs to be asked to leave the venue. But it's about being proactive rather than reactive.
Yes, indeed. I heard apparently in some clubs in London, they have a system where in the women's toilet, they have a sticker up saying, if someone is harassing you, go to the barman and use this phrase and they will act on it, as an example of that kind of thing.
That is one example. Now, it's not necessarily the best example, I must say. I like to see it far more obvious. So not just in the ladies' rooms, as it were, but in all the bathrooms, as a matter of fact, as a criteria of the ticketing. Mm. And that you actually see what I would call a code, both in the entry and throughout the whole venue. And indeed that there would be people on the floor to actually make, just to monitor, like a host. I love the word host. You know, like you host this show and you mind every part of it.
And another issue, I would imagine, is spiking. Is that a really serious problem still?
It is unbelievably serious and unbelievably common. Do you know, I don't think we've actually met anybody since we've been working on the issue of spiking who hasn't been spiked or who doesn't know somebody who's being spiked. And I'm not just talking about young people. I'm talking about age is no protection here. And it can be any kind of a venue, could be the ones we're talking about here, pubs, clubs, festivals. It could be a local pub. It could be weddings. It could be house parties. But it is so common. And one of the reasons that it continues to be so prevalent is we're kind of in collective denial about it. You have venues saying, doesn't happen on my venue. And it does. What we're doing right now is we're flipping the narrative. And rather than saying to potential victims, do this to avoid being a victim, which isn't really of much use, we actually promote the idea of don't spike. We've run that campaign. And in a number of very large student society balls and gigs, the incidence of spiking has actually gone down just because the venue is saying, we don't want spiking to happen here and we're on the lookout.
Yeah. Dola Toomey is a therapist at the Sexual Violence Centre in Cork, also obviously a member of Safe Gigs Ireland. Dola, thank you very much.
A pleasure.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.